We have been on a journey during this Lenten season in this church. 40 days ago, we accepted a challenge to begin studying the purpose-driven life. And I'm sure you've seen it's got a lot of coverage in the press. It's been in, I think, Newsweek and Time magazine, a big article in our paper about Rick Warren's purpose-driven life. An international bestseller, because people are looking for a sense of purpose. And the church has an answer. And St. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, they had all kinds of difficulties that are typical of a church. People not getting along well, people sometimes not being so nice and polite to one another, people who are downright ugly to one another. Typical of a church. If you're looking for a perfect church, this isn't it. And the one across the street isn't it. And the one down the road isn't it. Because you're not going to find a perfect church, because it's full of people like you and me. But Jesus was perfect, right? And that's why he came into the world, to live a life and experience the same kind of things that you and I experience. Hebrews says that he was tempted in every way, just like we are, except without sinning. And Paul talks to the people there in Corinth and shares these powerful words. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. What do you think he's saying there? He's trying to tell us something that we learned in this journey through the Lenten season. First of all, it's not about us. And second of all, it has everything to do with eternity. It's not all about this life. Now, there are some churches and there are some religions that are very this life oriented. There are some preachers who talk about a prosperity religion. I have a little trouble saying Christianity, because I think it misses the point. It talks about you're a king's kid, you deserve to live like a king, and you can have a Cadillac. Now, we got some folks in here that deal with Cadillacs, but you do it through Mary Kay and you don't call it a religion. That's okay. That's a business. And people know about the pink Cadillacs. But the church is not about selling Cadillacs and worldly prosperity. Some people experience that in their lives, and others do not. And Paul is telling the people in Corinth, if you think this is just about your life here and now, you're to be pitied. If you think it's just to get you through things here and now, and that's all you see in this faith represented by an empty cross, then you're to be pitied, because it's so much more. Does this faith help us when we're in trouble? Yes. Does it get us through hard times? Yes. Does it provide a community of people who, when they live to their best and their fullest, can be there for one another? Yes. Can it help us to live a more prosperous life? Not so much materially, but just get the most out of being alive, like these plants that were handed out to the children. I'm amazed at plants. I'm amazed at a little tiny plant called a crocus. Little bitty bulb. Not too big of a plant. And I remember going out in my yard as the snow was melting and the earth was warming up, one of those strange times when it snowed right at the end of March and spring was right on us. And I looked down and saw a crocus. Now, I had stacked rocks to make a walkway, stone walkway. Linwood, they're still stacked where I put them a couple of years ago. Still hadn't got that walkway made. But in spite of me stacking those stones along that edge, that little insignificant plant found a way to twist and grow up and be everything it was created to be. It didn't let the snow stop it. It didn't let the rocks I piled over its resting place. It craved life and became what it was created to be. And that's what our Lord did when he came to this earth. And he showed us it's not about just here and now. This is the place where you learn to live with God, our Creator, for eternity. So when it's not just about this life, we don't have to get overwhelmed if we don't always have the money we need. You know, the last thing we needed this week, this is always a rough week for a minister, Holy Week, but it wasn't so nice to start it out last Friday with Jane being hit by a pickup truck and totaling her car. That just wasn't something I wanted to think of Holy Week, and it wasn't a very holy way to start out last Friday. And then you start thinking of wonderful things in this life, like insurance points. Oh, I love those. And you know, they love you so much, they're going to stick with you for 3 years. And once an officer has been called to the scene, that's it, you got them. There's no way to economize, because it's against the driver and not about the crunched piece of metal. And yet she felt like a victim. Well, you see, if the Christian faith is just for getting through that, and it helped us, I had to keep putting it aside, worrying about what are we going to do for a car. I really want that one, because they're not going to pay me what it's worth to me. But it's not about getting through dealing with the car. It's not about where do you get the money for a new car. It's not about solving this problem or that problem in everyday life, although our faith can be wonderful in all of those areas. It's about what Rick reminded us of in this book. It's about realizing that trials and temptations and testing come our way to help us become stronger people, to give us an opportunity to behave like Christians. Now, I had a couple of not-so-Christian thoughts run through my mind over this whole thing. And then I remember, there's not a promise and a guarantee that because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm going to have it easy, that we're not going to be in accidents, that we're not going to be tested, that we're not going to be tempted to manipulate the system and try to get out of things, that we are not going to be under some kind of trial. It is a wonderful opportunity for me to develop the character of a godly person. And Lord, sometimes I don't appreciate all those opportunities you give me. But you're trying to shape and mold me into something. Not so much just for this life, but spending an eternity with our God. Being with those who love him, and there'll be no separation of day and night. There'll be no need to sleep and rest, which I'm craving a lot right now. I closed my eyes a little while ago and thought I was meditating, and I was really lusting after sleep. But you see, all of these things we go through in this life are to mold us and to build us into better people. And we may get some benefits in this life, and we may get some wonderful blessings in this life. But it's about the life to come, being prepared to be with a perfect God who loves us better than anyone on this earth could ever love us. a God who loves us more than this new mother and grandmother and aunts and family and great-grandmother love that precious new baby that just was brought home this week. And it's hard to believe there's a love greater than that. All I have to do is look at that five-month-old granddaughter of mine, and I'm just amazed. And God's love is better than that. You know, don't you, Mama? You got a little one. You just look at them and you think love. And our God loves us and wants to surround us with His presence and His love and His power for an eternity. And if we think religion is about here and now, and if we think Christ dying on the cross is about solving problems here and now, and if we think that our faith as Christians and our coming together is only about here and now, we are to be pitied because we missed the point. God will help us through everything in this life because He has a divine purpose for us here and in eternity. And if we don't get it together here, we may miss a wonderful opportunity for all time. This is Resurrection Day. This is a day to turn things around. This is a day of new beginnings. This is a day to grow and blossom and celebrate that, like the plants that we're already seeing in the azaleas and the trees and the ones we'll see all summer long until winter hits again, to remind us of the constant renewal and death of life until we're with the Father, who will love us and care for us and surround us with pleasant things for all time. Don't just settle for a Christ for a day, because He wants you to be with Him for an eternity. Let us pray. Gracious Father, so many times we just miss the point about faith and religion and church. And we confess that we turn the church into a pretty worldly kind of thing. And we can get mixed up in some pretty petty things because we take our eyes off of eternity. We forget that we were created to live with God eternally. And because of the troubles of this life, because of the complications of any given day, we forget that we are not human beings with a spirit. We are spiritual beings in a human body. Help us to be at home with You, Father. Whether we're in the body or away from it, Your eternal kingdom. But always help us to be with You. For there we find our meaning, our purpose, and the very sense of who we are. Bless us that we may stay with You in spirit this day and every day. For eternity. Amen.